This is Jay Sekulow. We've got breaking news. Supreme Court grants review in a major case involving abortion.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. And we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We've got breaking news. The Supreme Court takes up First Amendment challenge to California abortion law. This is the headline from CNN, and here's what has happened. There's a series of four cases that reached the Supreme Court, one of which was ours, Living Well Medical Center versus Becerra. This is a case, these four cases involve the issue of this called California FACT Act. That FACT Act required that crisis pregnancy centers state the following. In a certain, and it had to be, by the way, it had to be 8.5 inches by 11 inches, written less than no less than a 22-point font, and it required California has public programs that provide free or low-cost access to comprehensive family planning services, prenatal care, and abortion for all eligible women. To determine whether you qualify, contact, and then it said the Social Security, Social Services number. Now, this was required for pro-life crisis pregnancy centers to print this. The court granted one of the four cases. Our case is on hold, which means we will file friend of the court briefs on the issue. We have one of the cases. So there's one case got granted, NFLA versus Becerra. The other three cases are held. And what that means is if the court rules in our favor, we'll file friend of the court briefs on this. And for the American Center for Law and Justice, I'm sure we'll set up a committee that you'll be able to join that brief. So many of you will be able to join the brief that we filed with the Supreme Court. If we're successful in the main case, it will affect all these other cases, what's called a GVR, grant, vacate, and remand. But a big, big day with the court granting review on what is clearly a major, I mean, it's the first, as CNN points out, it's the First Amendment, first major case involving abortion during the Trump administration. But more importantly than that, is the first case that has now reached the Supreme Court on the issue of can crisis pregnancy centers be compelled to violate their conscience. Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is, again, when people hear this and they realize, and I've spent so much time, whether it's been on the campaign trails, visiting crisis pregnancy centers, doing fundraising events where I speak for the crisis pregnancy centers, asking people to donate money to the crisis pregnancy centers, they play such a key role in these communities so that women, young girls who are in these tough situations have somewhere to go that isn't pressuring them to have an abortion. What they do in these places is, one, encourage them, of course, to have the child,
right,
and then counsel them on what it would be like to, with programs for single mothers or young mothers, they have that, if they'd like to keep the child. And then second, if it, or even if it's a young couple. And then second, they also will provide the way to quickly get adoption set up so that you know your the baby you are carrying, the human life you are carrying, will find a great home and a home that you would agree with the center's kind of their moral position. So to have them forced to advertise free abortion, and abortion on demand is available, and here's where you can go get it, to women who are in a crisis mode but seeking not to speak to the abortionists, going to those pregnancy centers because they specifically don't want to be pressured to have an abortion. Let me tell you that too, from speaking at those centers and visiting them. I visited one on the campaign trail, big one in South Carolina. You've been to as well and spoken on their behalf. The women that go there because they've probably been to Planned Parenthood and they didn't like how pressured they were to have an abortion. Like that was the only real good option for them. Oh, you're young, you have your whole life ahead of you. So they wanted to find a place that would help them have the child and have the resources available if they want to keep the child or go the adoption route, which is always saving a human life.
So the petition in 161140 has been granted. That's NIFLA versus Becerra. I'll give you the question presented when we come back. Our case is held, which means we file amicus briefs on that. We'll take more of your calls. 1-800-684-3110. Supreme Court grants review in a major case involving abortion. Again, your reaction to this, 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
All right, so the Supreme Court takes up a First Amendment challenge to California's abortion law. That law, which is called the FACT Act, requires pro-life crisis pregnancy centers to publish the following. Quote, California has public programs that provide immediate, free, or low-cost access to comprehensive family planning services, including all FDA-approved methods of contraceptive, prenatal care, and abortion for eligible women. To determine whether you qualify, contact the county social services office at, and the number goes up. The public notice has to be posted in a conspicuous place inside the crisis pregnancy center, where individuals wait, that may be easily read by those seeking services from the facility. The notice shall be at least 18 and a half inches by 11 inches and written in no less than 22-point type. A public notice had to be given, in other words, to the printed notice distributed to all clients in no less than a 14-point type. It's called compelled speech, and our assertion was that that violated the Constitution, that compelling a crisis pregnancy center to violate their conscience. Well, joining us right now on the phone are two of our lawyers that have really worked hard on these cases, Jeff Surtees and Frank Mannion. Frank, let me start with you. The case that we have is being held. They granted a case by our friends at the Alliance Defending Freedom. That case, though, now will affect all of the pending cases, and there were three other cases pending, correct?
That's right. I mean, obviously, whatever the court decides in the NIFLA case, as we're calling it, will determine what happens in our case. Yeah, I want to point something out to the listeners here. This is a law that was written by NARAL, the National Abortion Rights Action League. Then it was co-sponsored by then-Attorney General Kamala Harris, now U.S. Senator and soon-to-be presidential candidate from California. So this was about the most biased, slanted type of compelled speech you could find. And as Jordan pointed out, we're dealing with vulnerable women, sometimes teenage girls, sitting in a waiting room. And the very first thing they see, that according to the state of California, is a sign that says, in effect, don't listen to these people. The state will take care of you and it won't cost you anything. And that's just wrong. And the First Amendment doesn't allow that.
No, I think that's Frank's exactly correct. Now, let me tell you what the question presented is. So here it is. Whether the disclosure required by the California Reproductive FACT Act violates the protections set forth in the Free Speech Clause of the First Amendment applicable to the states through the 14th Amendment. So, Jeff, when we look at this, this is a pure free speech case, which is what we actually argued in our cert petition, not the free exercise clause aspect of it, but the free speech clause.
That's exactly right, Jay. Yeah, when we went up to the Supreme Court, we said to the Supreme Court, in essence, you have to take this case. This case presents a pure question of law, whether or not the Reproductive FACT Act violates the First Amendment? That's exactly the question presented that the Supreme Court has given the parties in this case to answer. And I think that there can be no doubt that the Reproductive Fact Act does violate the First Amendment. You know, the First Amendment, we always like to think of the First Amendment prohibits the government from telling us that we can't speak out on something. Well, the First Amendment also prohibits the government from telling us that we have to affirmatively say something. And that's exactly what we have going on here. And this is more than just trying some attempt to inform women of their different options when it comes to pregnancy. This was really an attempt by the state of California to shut down these pro-life pregnancy care centers because they know that the convictions and the commitments of these centers is to not advertise for abortion. Their whole mission and identity is something opposite than that. They want to say, if you don't speak our pro-abortion message, you're going to have to pay fines. And they really, it's a bottom-line attempt just to go ahead and shut them down and get them out of their pro-life activities entirely.
You know, Jordan mentioned this. Jordan and I both speak at a lot of crisis pregnancy centers on fundraising events for them. And I will tell you, the work they do, they are on the front lines on this challenge. But the idea that you'd be forced to say, this is where you can get your abortion while you're trying to counsel someone out of having an abortion to protect the unborn child is really a pure violation of the First Amendment. I'm very encouraged here with the court granting review of the case because the court actually rewrote the question. And the question as rewritten strictly focuses on complying with these disclosures, does that violate the free speech clause of the First Amendment, which was basically our entire cert petition is what that focused on. And we will be writing a friend of the court brief. Let me tell you how this works. So our case is held at the Supreme Court right now. This case moves forward. We will file a friend of the court brief, an amicus brief, which you'll be able to join a committee to be part of, by the way, on that brief. We'll get working on that. We'll get a schedule on what the briefing is due. And then the argument itself will take place sometime next year, probably in March or April is my guess, and we'll get a decision the end of June. At that point, what happens is, assuming that it goes in the favor that we're going to be arguing, they will then grant our existing case that's pending. So we'll be held. They would grant it, vacate the lower court decision, remand it back to the lower court for a determination that there's been, that it'd have to be overturned in light of the decision if it goes in our favor. It's called a GVR. But it'd be a great result, obviously. And now there's four cases pending this, so there's a lot riding on this case.
This is a big war between Planned Parenthood, the abortion industry, and these pro-life pregnancy centers, sometimes called crisis pregnancy centers. Because if they could force, and this is when you're talking about the abortion giant, they've already forced the state legislators to put constitutionally questionable laws into place that restrict First Amendment rights of the pro-life pregnancy centers. They've already gotten the politicians to do their work, and they're willing to go to bat to try and force crisis pregnancy centers, pro-life pregnancy centers, that people voluntarily enter. I mean, no one's forcing you to go there, and it's certainly not as intense as going to an abortion clinic. No one's going to hustle you in there, no protesting around it. No one's forcing you there. And if they, I think for them, this would be one of their most bold victories because they could effectively shut down the missions of these pro-life pregnancy centers. I mean, I'm sure these people will still continue to do their work, but let me tell you, that's how high the stakes are here. And these are the centers that are saving lives, not killing lives. And they're doing it totally free. That many of them consult with doctors, nurses. They've got a lot of equipment. I know the one in South Carolina we both visited had a lot of medical equipment there. Yeah.
They have medical providers available. But let me ask this question because I want to play a bite from NARAL back about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and then ask Frank and Jeff this because NARAL, as Jordan just mentioned, Planned Parenthood, NARAL, they were the ones writing these laws. They did not want it decided on a free speech basis. And listen to this quote from the president of NARAL.
This is not about freedom of speech. It's not about freedom to worship, however anyone chooses to worship. What it is about setting a baseline threshold of what people that are licensed or what licensed health facilities are required to offer to their candidates.
So here's the question. I'll go to Frank first, then Jeff. But this is all about free speech, and now the Supreme Court has said that.
It's all about free speech, and it's all about them being able to force crisis pregnancy centers to speak the speech of the abortion industry. That's what they want to do, and that's what this law does. And that's why we've got to, you know, stay with this. And these laws are popping up all over the place, Jay, in cities and states, basically where you have a, you know, a sort of a left-wing majority. They are passing these laws all across the country. We've beaten them in New York at the Second Circuit. They've lost in the Fourth Circuit. They've passed a law in Hawaii that we're also in court challenging, and that will be largely determined by what happens in this case, too. But that's why we have to keep fighting these things.
So, Jeff, let's I like to predict these, but they're always difficult to predict. But I feel like the court granted this to reverse.
I completely agree, Jay. I think we have an excellent chance of the Supreme Court ruling in favor of free speech here. And I'm cautiously optimistic of a unanimous decision here in favor of free speech. The reason why I say that is that, while the abortion distortion doctrine corrupts everything in its wake, you know, there have been times, such as the McCullen decision a few years back, where the Supreme Court unanimously struck down Massachusetts' abortion buffer zone. And there, so free speech trumped abortion in that case. And I'm confident that we're going to get a unanimous decision like that McCullen decision where free speech trumps abortion again.
I mean, listen, if you get five, it's a win. I mean, I'll be thrilled with nine. Five is great. But the abortion distortion factor is a factor.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff took the words out of my mouth. We all understand this. When we look at any of these cases, let me tell you something. Take pro-life, take pregnancy centers, take all that out of it. Just read what this text would mean. A organization would be forced by the state to promote something that the organization is against. Okay, and they'd have to promote that. If you take abortion out, that is a 9-0 win. I don't even think you'd make it to the Supreme Court. But see, the abortion distortion worked all the way up to the Supreme Court on behalf of Planned Parenthood. Now, not everywhere, even out of New York, as Frank said, where still very pro-abortion. Judicial judges, they weren't okay with this, but they got into California, which is always 20 years ahead of everybody on the left, and they found, and I really do believe there, these judges used abortion distortion to justify this. This had nothing for them. It had nothing to do with the First Amendment. They ignored that because they put abortion above. It's the what we say, abortion is their cause for existence. It is what they worship. This specific area of the law, and so it can trump everything. Now, in my view, at the Supreme Court, you don't get the same abortion distortion, especially on a First Amendment case. But
hopefully not. But I'm actually very confident. I'm very confident. Jeff and Frank, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it.
Good thing, Jay.
Next stage is the writing of the amicus brief, friend of the court. You'll be able to participate in that. We'll have details on that in the days ahead. All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Later in the broadcast, we're going to talk about some UN resolutions coming on Israel. Also, the president's trip to Asia. That'll be in the back half hour of the broadcast. But in the meantime, we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget to support the work of the ACLJ. We're in a matching challenge campaign. You could do that at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for it. If you need legal help, just go to our requests line right there on the homepage of the website, aclj.org, right there. If you need help in your community, it's a great way.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, The ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
So if you're just joining us, we've got news. Supreme Court takes up a First Amendment challenge to the California FACT Act. That act, by the way, requires pro-life crisis pregnancy centers to post a sign saying this is where you can get your free abortion. Our case, where there's four cases now involved in it. The court took one of the cases, NIFLA versus Becerra. Our case, which was Living Well Medical Clinic, is put on hold. What that means is we'll file friend of the court briefs in favor of the other case. Whatever happens in that case will then dramatically, directly impact ours, what's called a GVR. If we win on top, on the top case, we then get a grant of the certiorari petition, a vacate of the lower court decision, and a remand to do it in accordance with the decision that would come out from the Supreme Court. So it's obviously we have a lot riding on it.
There's obviously legal implications here to our First Amendment, but there's those personal implications here as well. We get these calls often when this issue arises. And people get upset when they realize that these groups may not be able to do the work that they've been able to do. And Peggy in Ohio, I think, has a powerful story to share with everybody on line three. Peggy, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Peggy. Go ahead. You're on
Hi,
there.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hi. I just wanted to call in and let everyone know that the price to be paid for these abortions does not come for free. There's a high price. I was an intended abortion. There was a woman that stepped in and talked my birth mother into keeping me. However, my birth mother did not raise me. This woman took care of me, but I'm here. We are a business owner. I'm a wife. I have three children. Both of my daughters are nurses, making a difference in people's lives. My son gave me a granddaughter.
Yep.
So I wouldn't be here. These people that are saying, that the unborn child doesn't have a voice.
Well, let me tell you something. First of all, Peggy, thank you for your statement. Thank you for your testimony on this. This is why we defend the life issue so aggressively. You're the Exhibit A of that. And now your children and grandchildren become the Exhibits B and C because this is why you fight for life. And again, the idea that a pro-life crisis pregnancy center would be compelled to refer to abortions in writing on a sign when you walk in the reception area is repugnant to the First Amendment. Now, Andy Economo's with us, and we've worked a lot of Supreme Court cases together, Andy, for 30 years here, and we know that the repercussions on this one are going to be serious. So, again, the issue is there are actually four of these. I'm holding the cert petition in my hand for our television audience. There's four of these cases that are pending. They granted one, changed the question presented, so the question is strictly a free speech question. Does that California requirement of posting that sign violate the First Amendment? We will file an amicus brief with the Supreme Court, and then whatever happens in the case on top, the NIFLA case, will impact ours directly. But our amicus briefs get cited by the court.
Andy? Well, they do very, very truly indeed, because there is a great deal of respect in the Supreme Court of the United States for the American Center for Law and Justice, the caliber of legal analysis that we do, the way that we have consistently stated the facts correctly and properly. And I think, Jay, as you pointed out, the way the court has styled the question, I think, is very important. Is the free speech clause violated by the requirement that they post this absurd language that we have to tell people about an abortion? Does that violate the free speech clause?
So the exact language of the statute is California has public programs that provide immediate, free, or low-cost access to comprehensive family planning, and then it says an abortion for eligible women. You have to publish that. You have to post it in your reception area. It has to be 8.5 inches by 11 inches and written in no less than a 22-point type. They tell you the size of the font. Then they say you have to also hand a printed notice to distribute to all clients in no less than a 14-point top. The question that the court granted review on is whether the disclosure required by the California Reproductive Fact Act violates the protections set forth in the Free Speech Clause of the First Amendment applicable to the states through the 14th Amendment. The answer to that is, in our view, it clearly does. All right, we're taking your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're also getting comments coming in by Facebook and Periscope. Jordan, you want to take a call or a Facebook comment.
Yeah, we could take another call. I think this one is great, too, because Alexis has been involved with working at a crisis pregnancy center
great.
In Washington State. Alexis, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hey, Alexis, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello. Hey. I want to qualify that this was 20 years ago.
Yep, the early days.
So in the early days. So the things that we faced were not quite as critical as what is being faced now. I do want to say that many ads that were put in either newspapers or telephone books, by the way, on both sides of the aisle, would state clearly abortions, you know, or non-abortion. So that would be in advertising absolutely yep. made clear to begin with. The other thing is that the First Amendment free speech, I don't know. Your case is a wonderful case. I cannot speak to it legally. Hope and pray that there's a prevailing. But I want to say every woman who becomes pregnant, I don't care if she wants the child, is desperate to have a child. I would say 90% of all women are in a point of vulnerability the
sure.
instant they find out that they are pregnant. Secondly, to assert that you have to be told about abortions, they begin school, and particularly rigorously in California,
yep.
but in every state, they begin to counsel the children about abortion in middle school through high school. Every single year, they
yep.
are told. They are taken to go get their abortions if they want to get their abortion. When a woman would ask us about is abortion an option, we would simply answer, we don't have that information. But
under California, so here's the thing. Under California, Andy, you're compelled to
yes.
give them that information, which compelled speech can also be a violation,
Jay,
of the First Amendment.
It's like someone going to a clinic to get relief from being a smoker, and there is a sign that the California state legislature has to be posted saying that you're available. Don't forget that you can buy cigarettes or that there's a cigarette manufacturer that can put up a sign and smoke cigarettes. Why would you compel me to do something that is against my principles? Doesn't that violate my free speech? You're going to get help with respect to a pregnancy, and you're told absolutely you must say that you can get an abortion.
Yeah, and it's got to be in writing, handed to them, and publicly available. Now, the case is up at the Supreme Court of the United States. What that means is the main case, which is the national NIFLA versus BECRA case, is granted. The question presented, though, however, was not the question in any of the cert petitions, but more of the free speech language. I mean, there was, we all had remnants of this. The question is whether the disclosures violate the First Amendment free speech clause. Our case will be held pending that, which means we'll file an amicus brief, and then we've got to go, and whatever happens in that top case will then impact ours. If we win on top, that means we get a GVR, grant, vacate, and remand. All right, we're here for another 30 minutes. We're going to be talking about this. We're going to talk about some international matters that are developing as well, and we'll take your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget, if you need help, legal help in yeah. your community, whether Crisis Pregnancy Center or other organizations, we're getting a lot of calls coming in on the nativity scene issues. You go right to aclj.org. You can fill out a legal request for help right there.
I'm going to tell people about that, because we've actually put this is that time of year especially where a lot of the Christmas displays and holiday displays come under attack by groups like Freedom From Religion Foundation. We wanted it to make it easier for you to contact us and provide us the most information you can so that we can really get back to you quickly with one of our attorneys. So right on the top of aclj.org, it says Get Legal Help. You click on that, and then you'll see a form. So you fill in all that information as much as you can, and then we can contact you. And and that is a great way, folks. That goes straight to our attorneys. And then and again, folks, this is that time of year where we're ready to litigate. You got to get us the cases. ACLJ.org. If you need legal help, go there. Get legal help.
And don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org as well. Back with more in a moment.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Going on Monday. Here's what we got. Supreme Court takes up a First Amendment challenge to a California abortion law. That's a case we've been talking about for a week. Week before last, we actually showed you. I'll hold in my hand for our television audience right now. This is the cert petition we filed in our case. It is held. And what that means is they granted review in the case of NIFLA versus Becker. That was a case filed by our friends at the Alliance Defending Freedom, our friends at the Liberty Council have filed a case as well. There's, I think, and the Pacific Legal Institute. So there's four of these pending at the Supreme Court. They grant one, hold the others, rewrote the question presented that it strictly focuses on the free speech clause, which I think is very good for our side, and that is whether this FACT Act, which requires pro-life crisis pregnancy centers to post in their waiting rooms and to hand to the women that here's where you can get your free abortion, which violates fundamentally this idea of compelled speech, which also fundamentally, Andy, violates the First Amendment.
It does. You should not have to say what the government tells you to say. That is not what the First Amendment provides, nor, and this does not, and this applies yeah. both to the states through the 14th Amendment to the Constitution. The government, this is government compelled speech. It violates freedom of speech. If you go into an abortion, into a crisis pregnancy center and you're seeking counsel, you should not have to tell people that they must also seek abortion or have a right to abortion services.
I wanted to take Teresa's call from New Jersey online too. Teresa's been holding on nearly 30 minutes. So let's get Teresa, before you hang up after your call, stay on and we'll get you a copy of our signed book. We appreciate you holding and you're on the air.
Hey, Teresa, go ahead. You're on.
No worries. Hello, gentlemen. Hi. I really appreciate what you do.
Thanks.
I've been a pro-life counselor for like
Great.
30 Great. Years. I live in New Jersey and sadly we just lost an election to a very pro-abortion governor. That is why this law in California is so important to our pro-life movement here in New Jersey, because it just seems to me that we mimic everything that goes on after it happens in California. And one thing I heard the young lady mention, what
yep.
happens, you know, if you do choose life and then you build a family structure, whereas they don't talk about the aftershocks and the problems that it caused. I've counseled many post-abortive women and literally talked them off the ledge and taken them to emergency rooms.
Well, you're at the front lines of that, but I want you to continue, because I did want to let you know that we've also got two cases now in New York that we're handling for EMC, Price Pregnancy Centers, where, again, the government's coming after them as well. I think it's important for if you could say this, Teresa, just from your experience, you've been a pro-life counselor, how important that counseling is.
Oh, it's extremely important. As a matter of fact, I had a girlfriend who was a nurse in an abortion clinic who ended up having to be high all the time and eventually took her own life. I mean, it's just it's a brutal industry. We know so much more now than we used to. We can see that these are living human beings.
No question that imaging technology has changed the debate. But let me tell you something, and Jordan knows this, these pro-abortion groups try to shut down even the imaging capabilities that these centers engage in.
That's right. They don't want women who voluntarily seek out these pro-life pregnancy centers that do not provide abortions, that only exist to counsel women on one, if they are interested, if they're young and they're interested in a, you know, single mother kind of situation, there's not a father in the picture, or even if it's a young couple, what to do. They'll counsel that, of course, how to keep the baby. They have a lot of programs to help those moms who will have to definitely go to work to support. So they provide that service. They also provide the service, which I think is so important for our pro-life values to be on display for those of us to actually do something about it. For these crisis pregnancy centers to work, people have got to adopt. You've got to have people willing. We know there are. I mean, we all know there are willing people willing to adopt. they also will set that service up, which is invaluable for a young a person that in this situation to know that their child that they're carrying, this human being, which yep. they may not be able to take care of right now in their life, will be taken care of and raised by a great family.
All right, we're going to take your calls when we come back at 1-800-684-3110. Again, Supreme Court grants review and a case got big ramifications for the pro-life community. We'll talk more about that. We've got some international matters we're going to address as well. And don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast. We've got a lot going on. So we've talked about the Supreme Court granting review in the crisis pregnancy centers. We'll be filing amicus briefs on that. We'll let you know in the days ahead how you can participate in that. That will impact our case directly. We've got a case that's being held pending that case, the free speech question there. We also have a busy week in Washington. I'll be broadcasting from Washington tomorrow. And then Wednesday, we've got a hearing in front of the Helsinki Commission on Turkey and the situation with Pastor Andrew Brunson. So we've got a lot at play there. There's a lot of moves at the United Nations on the Israel front. So I want to take a segment to talk about kind of the international matter. I'm going to bring in Colonel Wes Smith and Professor Harry Hutchison joining us here in our media center. Let me go to Colonel Smith first. The president on the concluding day here of his trip to Asia. Give us kind of your highlights. You've served in South Korea, so sure. You've been in the region. Sure. What's your sense of the trip?
It was, I think, the most significant trip that he has made thus far in his presidency. You know, when President Obama first came into office, he talked about a pivot to Asia that never happened, and he was never held to account for it. Without labeling it or calling it, President Trump met literally with every ally and every partner that we have in the Western Pacific. And so it was significant, both not only to trade, although that was talked about a lot, but also to national security and other strategic interests. By all accounts, it was a successful trip, and it was a true pivot to Asia. And yet, as I told you earlier, Jay, if you look at the mainstream media in America, it's like they were on a totally different journey. Yep. He is much more popular with foreign press and with people in foreign countries than he is with the U.S. media.
Yeah, well, the U.S. media, it got coverage, but it was diminished, I would say, the coverage. What do you think the biggest takeaway is, Wes, from the trip so far?
I think on the positive side, he actually cemented relationships with all of our allies in that region. But I think it is significant that he has Japan and South Korea this week in a joint naval exercise with three U.S. aircraft carriers to counter the potential for North Korean aggression. You have to keep in mind, Jay,
we haven't had three aircraft carriers in that region for, what, 25 years or something?
I think at least a decade.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing. When I lived in South Korea, one of the things I noticed, even though there's peace between Japan and the Koreas, and they cooperate, there is so much resentment and suspicion because of Japan, what they did to the Koreans before and during World War II. And the president has their militaries in a joint exercise together.
That's a pretty big deal.
Common defense. That is a huge deal. The other picture that stuck out in my mind, Jay, is seeing the presidential motorcade going down the streets in Hanoi, Vietnam.
Yeah, that was
what a picture.
Yeah, that was a picture. We've got that issue going on right now as the president comes back. Then, Harry, we have the United Nations about ready to launch its usual anti-Israel barrage. We thought initially 9 anti-Israel resolutions. Now we're talking about upwards of 20.
Absolutely. So, Jay, the United Nations continues its repugnant offensive against Israel. First, it continues to draft and pass anti-Israel resolutions. These resolutions, for instance, deny history. They attempt to confirm that Israel is an unlawful occupier, notwithstanding the Balfour Resolution and other documents which confirms Israel's right to exist as a Jewish state.
So you've got that, and then on Wednesday, so that's at the UN now, so our teams in New York and in Geneva are dealing with that. And Jordan, that is something we got to be constantly on guard with. And then we'll talk about what's coming up Wednesday. We've got more on this international front.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so obviously when you're talking about these issues specifically with at the United Nations,
yep,
you've got to be on your game because they are, this is the one place where when you talk about the funding, when you talk about the mechanisms, the U.S. has a lot of power to flex, but you've got to do it quickly and you've got to use all the mechanisms. So sometimes you can do it through the Security Council and just issue a veto. Other times, you've got to kind of make threats, funding threats. Now, in a positive way, in a positive development, we've seen Ambassador Nikki Haley and the Trump administration, yep, not afraid of making those funding threats. And if they've had reports pulled that were against Israel already, they've done work like this before. Now, here, we're talking about resources, and I think that the U.S. has to flex its muscles to do the right thing for Israel.
So we've got the president finishing his trip. We're giving you analysis on that. Harry just gave you analysis of what we're facing at the UN and that our teams are working on that front, both in Europe and in New York. Then let's go to Wednesday in Washington, D.C., the Helsinki Commission. And the Helsinki Commission deals with religious liberty issues and freedom issues. And we've got the case of Turkey and Pastor Andrew Brunson, and our senior counsel, C.C. Heil, is going to be testifying before the Helsinki Commission. And that happens on Wednesday morning, Andy.
That's correct. The Commission on Security and Cooperation in Europe, she will be testifying with respect to the terrible situation that has faced Pastor Andrew Brunson, who has lived in Turkey for 23 years, peacefully serving as a pastor of the Resurrection Church in Izmir, who a year ago, actually, to be precise, on November 15, the day that C.C. High will be testifying, will be 404 days. He was arrested as a threat to national security. He's literally been held with no accusations formally filed against him, not charged with any crime. His file has been sealed. Visits from his attorney are recorded. He can be held without formal charges for up to 7 years. No due process rights whatsoever, and some absurd contentions being made against him.
Yeah, so CC is going to be in front of the Helsinki Commission that will be chaired, I think, by the senator from North Carolina. That is where Andrew Brunson's family's from. That's taking place on Wednesday. So we got the Supreme Court granting review in the pro-life case today. We got the UN matter. We've got an analysis we've just given you on Asia. And then we've got this whole situation with Turkey. And I'm going to go to Harry on this. Harry, we've done a lot on Turkey. I mean, we've got a book about Turkey. We did our program at Oxford on Turkey. And this pastor, at this point, it's fair to say, is being held as a political prisoner.
Absolutely. And so, as we've suggested in the book, Jay, we have pointed out that Turkey has taken an authoritarian turn.
Yeah.
And so increasingly, Turkey should be seen as an authoritarian state. Today, for instance, in Turkey, Turkey holds more journalists hostage in prison than any other state. And yet Turkey is a member of NATO. We are supposed to have good relations with Turkey.
Yeah.
But those relationships are beginning to evaporate.
So, Wes, NATO is supposed to be our ally. Colonel Smith, I will say this. this is hard for people to understand globally how a NATO ally would be holding an American in this kind of situation.
It is unimaginable. And to think, I mean, any other NATO member that would be doing this to a U.S. citizen, there would just be worldwide shock. And there is some shock about this as well. Turkey is a very unpredictable and unreliable NATO ally. In addition to what Harry mentioned, right now, Turkey is cooperating with Russia and Iran as we continue to clear Syria of ISIS. Yep. And now, because Turkey is so much against the Kurdish forces that we're supporting, they are actually linking up with groups connected to Al-Qaeda. Turkey is linking up with them in order to push the Kurds out. And you know, Al-Qaeda is a terrorist group.
Jordan and Andy have been to Turkey. Andy's been multiple times. Jordan, you know, describe Turkey. What kind of the atmospheres are? I know it's changed even since you all have been there.
Significant change since we were there. Already was beginning to change. But what was most noticeable at that time was that the Syrian conflict with ISIS was causing a mass influx of immigrants into cities like Istanbul, which is one of the largest cities in the world. And so you'd see many people on the street. I think at that time they'd already taken in 1 million refugees from Syria who had escaped ISIS. So again, on the humanitarian front, trying to help.
Yep.
The other hand, they have their own domestic terror issues with the Kurds, who we actually back as the United States in the war against ISIS. So it gets extra complicated. But Erdogan, since our visit, has cracked down significantly. So for someone like Andrew Brunson, who spent 20 plus years there, this all happened rapidly in a couple of years.
Yep.
It went from a place where I wouldn't go on the street corner preaching Jesus. And that's not what Pastor Brunson was doing.
Right.
But you could have a church and you could have a religious. We went to a religious service with the Pope and the Patriarch. It was not like a place that prevented that. It protected us.
There have been restrictions of play. In your denomination, Greek Orthodox, they have really cracked down on this.
Oh, severely. Seriously. So, you know, you can't display the symbol of a cross on the outside of the church. You can't ring bells. This is not a free and democratic government that is really conducive to allowing people to exercise their religious freedoms. That's an absurd statement to say that about the Turks. And here they've put Pastor Brunson in a prison made for eight, and they would have had 22 prisoners in there, and he was the only Christian.
Yep. His hearing before the Helsinki Commission is Wednesday. Supreme Court today, tomorrow fighting at the UN, Wednesday, Helsinki Commission. All right, we've got a segment left. 1-800-684-3110. Take a call on any of these topics that we've discussed. The issue involving the pro-life crisis pregnancy centers, Turkey, Korea. Your calls in this segment, we'll take them. 1-800-684-3110. We'll keep our panel here. We'll be able to talk those issues out with you as we continue. Busy start to the week, and I'll be broadcasting to you probably from Washington for a good part of this week anyways. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us. If you want to support the work of the ACLJ, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org, our matching challenge campaign. Back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation. and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
All right, it's the last segment of the broadcast. You get to ask us questions on any of the topics we discussed. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right to the phones. People have been holding.
Yeah, let me thank Beverly calling from Kentucky. She's been holding through our other discussions as well.
Send her a book, too.
So, Beverly, after your question or comment, stay on the line. We'll get your information, send you a signed copy of one of our bestsellers. Beverly, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Beverly. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay, hello.
Hey.
Mine is on the First Amendment. This is not part of the First Amendment. As a Christian woman, I do not want to walk in to a gynecologist or an obstetrician or a Planned Parenthood and be handed a brochure. I would be mortified.
Yeah, well, especially if you were walking into a crisis pregnancy center and they said, not only are you handed this, this is where you go get your abortion when you're trying to persuade the woman not to have the abortion, I mean, compelled speech, but they also post it. But here's the good news. The Supreme Court in the NIFLA case granted review, and this is the, and they rewrote the question presented. So this is what the court wants the answer to. And Andy, I think this is good for us. Whether the disclosures, this forced disclosure of where you can get your abortion, required by California's Reproductive Fact Act, violates the protections set forth in the Free Speech Clause of the First Amendment. The language, the question itself, I'll go to Harry and I'll go to Andy first, and Harry, itself really sets this up, I think, very good for us.
The question does. And the answer, of course, to the question is yes, resoundingly so. And the Supreme Court wrote that question, and I think I know who the justices are who crafted the question. I won't say, but I think that it was drafted in such a way that they wanted to overturn these absurd rulings of these lower courts.
And he's going to make news here? He doesn't really know, but he's got suspicions. We all have ideas when these things happen, how it works, because it kept getting delayed. Four times it was brought before the court. So we were getting concerned that they were just going to deny it, but what they did was they rewrote it. But go ahead.
They did. No, I mean, the Supreme Court doesn't just frame a question willy-nilly and throw it together. They think about it very carefully, and they've put a lot of thought into the question, and I know what the answer ought to be at any rate.
It should be unanimous, although I'll take 5-4 right now, no questions asked. But the fact that they granted review, Harry, is a very good sign here.
Absolutely, and it's also important to note, as you have already noted, that they have crafted a particular question. Why? Because compelled speech is offensive under the rule of law and under the Constitution.
I was going to add this to it. I mean, could you imagine, Wes, you were a pastor. I mean, you were a colonel in the United States Army. You're a pastor. So if somebody came into you on this issue and you were talking to them about why it's important, keep the baby, you were trying to give a pro-life position, but the government, what's the difference between the government coming in to these crisis pregnancy centers or coming into your church and saying, hey, this is what you got to tell them?
There is no difference. I mean, it on the face of it, it is just unbelievable that California has this law.
Yeah. The good news is, though, I think the grant was to vacate it. Let's take another call.
Yeah. Let's go to Karen in Colorado on line 6. Karen, you've also been holding on a long time, so don't hang up after your question or comment. We'll send you a signed bestseller. Thank you for calling, Karen. You're on the air.
Hi, Karen.
Hello. How are you today?
Good.
Well, I was calling in because I wanted to share with everyone the pro-life and Planned Parenthood do not go hand in hand. At 16, I found myself with an unwanted pregnancy. And I didn't have a choice of anywhere to go. I didn't know what to do. Very confused and scared. So I walked into Planned Parenthood looking for resources and guidance on how I could help myself through this situation. And when I sat down with the counselors there at Planned Parenthood, I wasn't given resources, guidance, or options. They simply set me up with an appointment to have an abortion, guided me into that direction. And that procedure was done. To this day, I carry that guilt. that I murdered my child. It haunted me. It's never left me. I ask the Lord all the time for forgiveness.
Well, you got that forgiveness. Don't forget that. I mean, don't forget that part. I mean, Wes, the biggest aspect of the gospel is the gospel of forgiveness.
Yeah, God is merciful and restores us, rebuilds our lives.
Yep. So don't forget that, Karen. But here's the interesting dynamic in this case. Nowhere in this law does it say that the Planned Parenthood has to say, here's where you can get abortion alternatives. By the way, I think that would be unconstitutional too, but they certainly don't want to go there.
No.
Because this was written by the abortion industry.
Right. They don't want to put into language, and we don't want any language. We don't think there should be compelled speech on either side. It's what Planned Parenthood does as of right now, we don't like that, is legal, but we don't believe they should be compelled to tell people that something against their interest. So they're supposed to be able to tell people, they say they do births and all of that stuff, so family planning in a positive way. But again, why not just let these are nonprofits do their job? And I think James' question gets to that. I think Karen, for her personal story, those are always...
Yeah, Karen, we appreciate
because
your openness on
that. People understand then why this is bigger than just what the First Amendment means in a court case and law. It affects people and human lives.
Yep.
But James, I think, gets that question about all these restrictions on line one. James, you're calling from New York. You're on the air. Hi, James.
Hi. First of all, I very much hope you win your case.
Thanks.
However, I would like to know what you're thinking for your opposing side, because if I were an attorney for the opposite side, I could think of a strategy that I would use to make my case, and I'll give you that if you ask, but I want to hear what you have to say.
Well, here's the pro-abortion groups are saying that this is basically an informed consent, or we want to make sure people understand their full capabilities of what's available. But the problem with that is they don't do both sides, number one. It's written by NARAL, the National Abortion, they don't call themselves the National Abortion Rights Action League anymore, but that's what they are. And the idea here was to compel speech against the pro-life groups. But they're going to argue basically informed consent. But the fact of the matter is, why that argument fails is no one's compelling the woman to go to any of these facilities. They're doing this on free choice. And then when they get there, they're given, this is what we do. We counsel against abortion.
But I wanted James to present his, because
yeah.
I think it's interesting, because I think people may get this question. So James, we lost you. James is going to say, how do you differentiate between when the cigarette companies were forced to do warnings? Those are for-profit corporations.
Well,
they have lots of different regulations and restrictions. We're talking about nonprofits here.
Well, it's not just that it's nonprofits. This is on a social issue, not on a health issue. The government can come in and regulate certain industries. They do that. But this is beyond regulation. This is compelling speech. And that will be the argument the other side makes, no doubt. But, Andy, at the end of the day, the First Amendment Free Speech Clause really has to protect the ability of these pro-life centers to do their job, too. And that's what this comes down to.
It does. It does. And, in fact, it does protect them. And the idea that you have to put up a sign that says you can get an abortion and you can get it for free, and here's where you go to get it, and you have to do this, and you go to a crisis counseling center for pregnancy is contrary to the First Amendment of the Constitution.
We've got a very interesting offer for you that our digital team has put together. I want to talk to you about it for a moment. We are in a matching challenge campaign the month of November and, of course, in December as well. But these are two big months for us. So any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching gift for at ACLJ.org. So a $20 gift is 40, 10 is 20, 20 is 40, 40 is 80. I mean, that's how it works. So this is a huge month for us in the Matching Challenge campaign. So that's number one. I want to encourage you to support the Matching Challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. When you make an online contribution, you're going to get a receipt right back immediately within seconds. In that receipt is going to be a code for you to watch our movie that we put together called Abortion Inc. So when you make a donation, on the receipt will be the code to go watch that movie Abortion Inc., which will give you a full understanding how all of this works. So I encourage you to do that. And Jordan, we want to encourage people to support the work of the ACLJ.
It's a great time to support. I mean, not just for that movie, which that's just an added bonus as we're talking about these issues. And it's a great DVD documentary. So make sure if you do donate to look for that code in your email receipt. If you make that online donation at ACLJ.org, and you'll get the link and the code so you can watch Abortion Inc., produced by ACLJ Films. This is a matching challenge right now. So anything you donate to the ACLJ, even $5 becomes $10. It's an important time. We need your support. Go to ACLJ.org and donate now.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, ACLJ.